They have been, the children of Israel have been wandering for some time in the wilderness, and they are now encamped at the base of Mount Sinai, or as it is known in other places in the scripture, Mount Horeb. God has called Moses to the top of the mount, and there he's going to give him the commandments under which Israel is to live and to be his people. He's gone a long time. In fact, he's there 40 days and 40 nights. He's fasting. And the Lord appears to him, and we see that. We see the giving of the Ten Commandments and the beginning of the giving of the law in the 20th chapter of Exodus. Now, while Moses is in the mountain, the people at the base of the mountain are restless. And we see here in the 32nd chapter of Exodus, where I've directed our attention this morning, that when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not, or we do not know what is become of him. Now, this is not the main point of the message this morning, but I want you to take note of the problem that we must be careful of, or the danger that we must be wary of when there is delay. When things don't happen at the time we think they should, when things don't happen in the season we think they should, when God does not move when we think he should, when things are not happening like we think they should be happening, there's a real danger. And the danger is that rather than wait upon the Lord, we will develop our own ideas and do our own thing and do exactly as Israel did here and get themselves in lots and lots of trouble. I think there's something very significant here about the fact that the Holy Spirit points out that the reason the people were tempted here was because they got tired of waiting. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mount, they said, we don't know what's happened to him. We don't know what God's doing. So let's do our own thing. Aaron, make us some gods that will go before us. Verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, Okay, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And so he took all of the gold that the people brought. Remember, they got this gold when they left Egypt. The people pressed it upon them. Get out of here. Take whatever you want. We want you to go. And they took many valuables from the Egyptians. Among them were these golden ornaments. And so Aaron, when he received the gold, he melted it down, and from it he cast somehow or formed a calf, an image of a calf, and then with a tool he fashioned it, gold soft, as you know, and he was able to form it and fashion it. And then they said, middle of verse 4, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Turn this down just a little bit, these monitors, if you don't mind, Zach. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now, when you read this passage, I think most of us have had the idea that this was a false god that Aaron had created for the children of Israel to worship. But that's not what happened here. If you'll notice what Aaron said in verse 5, he said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Now that word Lord there is Jehovah. And when he presented the calf to the people in verse 4, he said, "These be thy gods." In other words, this is the Lord Jehovah. Tomorrow we're going to have a feast to him. And so they built this altar, declared a feast for the Lord Jehovah. They knew it was he who had brought them out of Egypt. But they created an image, something that they could see, something they could touch, something they could experience with the senses, so they had an image with which they were going to worship Jehovah. Now think about what's going on here. You would say, well, why would that be a problem as long as they had the right God? Shouldn't be a problem. It was truly Jehovah. But the Lord was not very happy about this. In verse 7, he said to Moses, "Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Now, what's the problem here? There, you know, we hear it said today, don't we, that there are many ways to worship God. Every religion has its own way. As long as you're worshiping the true God, what does it matter? Whether you worship Him as Allah, or whether you worship Him as Jesus, or whether you worship Him as nature, the creator of all things, what difference does it make? The point that's made here is that it's not enough to simply know that God exists. The point that's made here is God has established the way in which He is to be worshipped. And if you're going to worship Him in a way that He will receive, you must worship Him in the way that He prescribed. Now turn back to the 20th chapter. It's not like the children of Israel were worshiping a false god. They were worshiping the true God, but they were worshiping Him in the wrong way. I want you to get this. They were not worshiping a false god. They were worshiping the true God in a false way. Details matter. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. This is the second commandment. God said, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." What did Aaron do? He made a graven image. Why did he do it? The people demanded it. "Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, am thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." There's the second commandment. Thou shalt not make any graven image and have it represent me. You don't make any image of anything and have it represent me. Jump over in the same chapter to the 23rd verse. "Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold." And then I'm going to read on here. There's something interesting here, just kind of a sidelight. But "an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it." Now think about that. He says, if you're going to make an altar, I prefer you just make it out of earth. But if you decide you want to make it out of rock, that's okay too, as long as the rock you use is the way you found it. If you put your tool on it and think that you can make it better for the worship of me by your own efforts, I reject it. Thank you, sir. In other words, we do not worship him with the adjunct of anything that we bring to the table. It's all what he did. We don't add anything to it. This is a wonderful passage from the Old Testament that compares works and grace. I did it all. You take the stone the way I made it, you use it for the altar. If you add anything to it, you pollute what I did. Galatians 5 would be a good, this is another message on the side, but Galatians 5 would be the place you would go right now where he said that if you add anything to Christ, you frustrate the grace of God and Christ has become of none effect to you. Okay. In other words, it's what he did, and what we did makes no difference except we just accept what he did. And that particular verse has always struck me. We do not worship by our own works, but by his. And I thought it was interesting that the building we bought here is covered with stone. But if you look at this stone, you will see that it's the way it came out of the field. This stone is not fashioned by the artisan. It's just taken a stone here and it's fitted into place the way it came out of the ground. I've never seen a place where I knew that a tool had been applied to it. I don't know whether that's significant or not, but it always has been for me in terms of this property and this building that we worship him in. Now, let's turn to John chapter 4 a moment. It's not enough to just to acknowledge that God exists and we just worship him differently. You Christians, you worship him through Jesus. We Muslims, we worship him through Muhammad. We Hindus, we worship him through another way. Mormons, we worship him a different way. We Jehovah's Witnesses, we worship him a different way. We atheists, of course, we don't believe he's out there. But we nature lovers, we worship him on the lake. We golfers, we worship him on the golf course. We hunters, we worship him in a tree. If we're going to worship him, we worship him according to his dictates. John chapter 4. This is Jesus at Jacob's well in Samaria. Sychar. And the woman at the well is, they're having this conversation. And verse 19, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, and truly that was the case, because God had said, you worship me where I choose to have my name placed. And under the old covenant, that was in Jerusalem. Jesus is about to change that. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father, because we worship him not at a place, but we worship him in a manner. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The Messiah is coming through the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. Now, this is why he would not permit any image to be made of him. God is a spirit. And that some folks get a hold of this and say, well, then I shouldn't have any picture of Jesus in my house, or we shouldn't have a picture of Jesus in the church. No, that's Jesus was a man, God come flesh, okay? But God himself is a spirit, and he does not have form, a visible form, as we perceive natural men to have. And so he says, you do not make an image imagining what I may be like, that I look like the sun, or I look like the calf, or I look like a tiger, or I look like a person, or whatever. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, what's that all about? Under the new covenant, how do we worship God? Under the old covenant, he established how he was to be worshiped. He was to be worshiped where his presence was, and he was to be worshiped in a certain way. The sacrifice of animals, the giving of blood, the so on and so forth, all of that was a part of the way he was prescribing worship. How do we worship today? What is the acceptable means by which we are to worship? Well, first of all, we can only come to him through Jesus Christ our Lord. We come only in that way. If we do not come that way, we don't come. And whatever it is or whoever it is that we are worshiping, if we do not worship through Jesus, we are not worshiping the true God. We're worshiping our idea of what the true God is, who the true God is. In this case, in Exodus, when Aaron, under the demands of the children of Israel, made this molten calf, they thought they were worshiping Jehovah God. But God said, I don't accept that worship. You're not worshiping me, because you're not worshiping me in the prescribed way. And so if you're going to worship him, you must worship him in the way that he has, that he has prescribed. And first and foremost, that means through the Lord Jesus. There's no way to offer any worship to God which is acceptable unless it comes through the Lord Jesus. Are you listening? Now, we're to worship him how? through Jesus, but how? We're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. What does it mean to worship God in spirit? Does that mean that the only way you can worship God is in tongues? No. It means that you worship out of your spirit man rather than out of your head man, out of your soul man. For most of my life, I'm getting to the point where it's about half and half, but for most of my life, I thought I was worshiping Him, but I wasn't. The worship that I offered was not acceptable to Him, because that worship was not, while it was well-intentioned, it was not offered in the Spirit, because my spirit was dead. I wasn't offering my worship. I was offering my worship according to the, let's see, turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. Matthew 15. You say, Pastor Vic, if you're in a Protestant church, if you're in a Christian church, and there's worship going up and you're participating in it, aren't you worshiping God? Yes, you are, but He's not receiving. You're sending, but He's not receiving. I was having trouble with my email the past couple of weeks. Finally got it fixed this week. They were sending, but I wasn't receiving. Chapter 15 and verse 9. Verse 7. Ye hypocrites, Jesus said, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips. They sing the hymns, they say the prayers, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You know that today, this very day, this very hour, there's lots of so-called worship going up, and people are sending, but He's not receiving, because it's not coming from the heart. It's coming out of the head. It's coming out of the tradition. It's coming out of the soulish realm. It's coming out of the fleshly realm. Might as well be worshiping a molten calf and calling it God. I'm going to say that again. Might as well be worshiping a molten calf and calling it God. It's the same thing. In spirit, Jesus said, and in truth. Okay? Out of the heart, out of the spirit, and then the part where it says in truth, that would be in accordance with the Word of God. Now, the Old Testament saint, he could worship, offer an acceptable worship unto God as long as he did it the way God said to do it in His Word. For you and I, if we were to bring today the blood of a live lamb to church and offer it, have it killed and take the blood and put some of the blood on the stones out there on the foyer waterfall and take the rest of the blood and dump it, you know, beside the, like they used to do with the altar, and build a fire and take the animal and open him up and take the fat from around the kidneys and the liver and so on, and take that and offer it on the fire and so on. What good do you suppose that would do? He would not receive. We would send, but He wouldn't be receiving. Because that would not be worshiping Him today in light of present revealed truth. Does that make sense? We worship Him according to what He has revealed in His Word is the way in which He will receive true worship. Well, not with the blood, because they don't have any place to sacrifice it. But if they had a temple, they would. And it's, you know, it's not being received. And so I guess the point I want to make today is that there's lots of so-called worship. Lots of so-called worship among the Muslims, among the other religions. Let's just call them the other religions. But there's lots of so-called worship being offered from Christians that is not being received. And there's no response to it because it's not being offered in the proper way. God has a method by which He is to be worshiped. He has established that in His Word. He has shown us by His Spirit and by His Word how He is to be related to. And we have unmitigated gall if we think we can determine our own way. Basically, this is what happened in the wilderness with the children of Israel. They said, we don't know what's happened to Moses. We don't know whether he's ever coming back. We want to worship God. We know God is real. We watched Him deliver us by mighty power and great works out of Egypt. He delivered us across the Red Sea. He destroyed our enemies in the overwhelming sea. We know that Jehovah God is God. We know that. Now we want to honor Him. Now we want to worship Him. Now we want to acknowledge Him. Make us an image that we can bow down in front of. We want to dance, and we want to dance in front of something we can see. We want to celebrate the goodness of God, and we want to do it our own way. Let's have a party. Let's have a religious party here. You can imagine what... You've seen the Ten Commandments. I mean, everybody in here has seen Charlton Heston come down from the mountain and with John Derrick and throw the stone tablets down and break them. We all saw that, didn't we? And what were the people doing? They were having one giant orgy, weren't they? Drinking and all that stuff that follows drinking. Moses was incensed. God was incensed. I think what the Lord is just trying to tell us today is that if you want to have a relationship with me, you really want to honor me, if you really want to celebrate me, if you really want to praise me, if you really want to do it in a way that's going to bless me and touch my heart, you got to do it my way. You cannot come up with your own ideas. Well, let's hang something up here and see what today. Let's just hang something up here on this cross and we'll call that God. And we'll worship it. And we'll come in here and we'll sing to the cross. We'll dance before the cross. This is why this whole business about the shroud, the Holy Grail. That's why I don't think any of those things ever be found. This is why God took Moses' body. We read the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. When Moses died, God buried him. Why did He do that? Because the children of Israel would have enshrined him and made him a god. Isn't that what some of our brothers and sisters in Christ are doing today? You go into some Christian churches today and there'll be a statue of Saint Francis of not our Saint Fran, but Saint Francis, and there'll be Saint Christopher, and there'll be Saint Teresa, and there'll be Saint so and so, and Saint so and so, and Saint so and so, and then there will be this tremendous image of the Virgin Mary. And what is it that the people are worshiping? They're worshiping God, but not in the way He prescribed. And that worship is not effective. It's not getting anywhere. Amen. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand what I believe the Lord, what He's trying to tell us today?